In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today, God is sending a very encouraging message through this miracle with this man. It's a life-changing message and a life and attitude-changing message as well. When people pass away, and of course I get to attend more funerals than anyone here. So when I see someone going home, I ask myself, what kind of mark did this person leave on earth? And I ask myself, what kind of change will I leave on earth? Are we just living for no reason? Did God create this person to be a vegetable for 38 years? Is God happy to see something like this? Absolutely not. God doesn't want anyone to waste his life. God didn't want this man to waste his life. He wanted his life to make a difference. He wanted actually to give him a life. He wanted him to give him a new life. And God doesn't want you or me to waste our lives, but to make the most out of our lives. We're here for a purpose. Everyone is here for a purpose, not just for any random reason. God doesn't want anyone to be crippled and just sitting there doing absolutely nothing in his life and thinking that he is paralyzed and cannot do anything, even if he's literally paralyzed after we saw. So, there was a pool called Bethesda. People believe, the Jews believe, that there is an angel come and stir the water. So the first one to jump in the water after the water is stirred will be healed. So definitely there were multitudes of people who have diseases that are incurable, something that they cannot deal with. Lots of people laying down on the floor. But the most miserable one of them, most miserable of this place, and most miserable person in the Bible. Like, this is the epitome of the miserable person. Like, every time I hear this miracle, I just can't imagine someone like this. 38 years sick. So Jesus came particularly to this person. Nobody was knew that he was Jesus. He was undercover. Came to this person. And then the gospel says, a certain man who had an infirmity 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" That's a very strange question to ask to such a man. But if you know the background, you won't be surprised. Because this man was absolutely hopeless. Absolutely hopeless. Had no hope in life. And he said that. He told the Lord Jesus, he said, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. I have no man. I have no friends. I have no family. I have no one to take care of me. So when the water is stirred up, I have a chance to be healed." Of course, after 38 years, I'm sure there were friends there. I'm sure there were family there. But 38 years, think about it. 38 years, if he's healed today, then he was paralyzed since 1969. I'm sure the doctor who worked with him is retired now. You know, people gave up on him. People forgot him. His parents died a long time ago. Like, there is no one. This man, as I said, is the most miserable man in the entire Bible. At least that's my opinion. Very hopeless. And a lot of times, we feel that. We feel like there is no hope. There is no change. There are things in life that they are not going to change. Some people give up on us. Sometimes we even give up on ourselves even more. Maybe teachers give up on us. Coaches, spouses, there is someone who didn't give up on him. That's why Jesus asked them this question, do you want to be made well? But the man made excuses for his situation. And you better believe that anyone who is staying long in such condition, crippled, this person is an excuse person. He is perfect in excuses. He can come up with 10 excuses why he's there and why he's in this condition. But we know also that all people in the Bible who really made it and made great things in life never given themselves an excuse. For example, the best example of that, Joseph the righteous. He was sold by his family, no family. He was in another country, doesn't know the language, doesn't know anything. He was a slave. Did this give him the excuse to sin or to be hopeless or to give up? Absolutely not. Didn't give himself excuses. He didn't say, my circumstances are bad. This man said that. And I hear it all the time. My circumstances are just, things are tough. You just didn't know. And I'm telling you that God is sending us this message as a message of hope for anyone, no matter how miserable and how crippled he is. That's why, actually, you know what? If Jesus was passing by and a lot of people are around him, who is the last person would go to ask for healing? This person. That's why Jesus didn't pass by him. Jesus came to him specifically, said, you, I know you've been sick for a long time. Do you want to be made well? And Jesus came for certain people. Even if he did not expect Jesus to help him. Why would this day be different than the past 38 years? Why today? Why is today different? It's like a day, like any other day. There is a lot of people, a lot of nice people out there. They came by saying hi and looking at me and pitying me, whatever it is. Didn't expect at all that Jesus could do anything to him. That's why Jesus didn't ask him, why aren't you well? He asked him, do you want to be made well? Or do you want to be made whole? At least this man could have said, would you like to help me getting into the water? Would you like to serve me? Would you like even to give me money? Didn't ask for anything. Didn't ask for anything. He was just too hopeless and too down. Didn't ask for anything. Some people might ask, if Jesus can heal physically, why didn't he heal everyone there in the pool of Bethesda? Because there were multitudes of sick people. Why this person specifically? I don't know, but maybe this person, he gave him not only the healing of his physical body, but he made him whole. He gave him life. He didn't give him healing. He didn't give him legs and hands and things like this. He gave him life. He gave him hope of new life. Because this man was wasting his life to a big extent. He wanted to make him complete. Why he didn't heal other people, I don't know. Maybe because this man was more miserable than anyone else. Maybe because he had so long time. Maybe because he didn't have anyone. He didn't have any friends. Didn't have anyone to encourage him or give him hope whatsoever. But the Lord knew. And the Lord, you know, if you look at such a person, I'm sure he was old by this time, didn't want to waste even whatever is left in his life. Absolutely not. No one can say that God just wants me to stay as is, same way I am. Absolutely not. To make the most out of my life. Jesus gave this man life. That's why he asked him the question, Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made complete? So the question now is, what does it take to make your life count? What does it take not to waste your life and not to stay crippled in this situation and not to stay in a sin or in a weakness or in any condition that prevents you from doing what God wants you to do? The first thing here that gives us hope is you must decide to get up. And I'm telling you that getting up for this man was a big challenge. Why? Even though this man was sick and crippled and everything, but it was much, much safer for him to stay where he is. You know, if he is whole now and he can stand up and walk, now the first thing he needs to do, what does he need to do right away? He needs to get a job. He needs to work. Before people brought food right to him, he need to find housing. He need a lot of things. He need to work hard. It's a risk, actually, to get up and walk. Because people like to stay where they are, in their comfort zone. Believe it or not, that became a comfort zone for this man. I'm in this condition. Yesterday, I'm paralyzed. Today, I'm paralyzed. Tomorrow, I'm paralyzed. I know how to handle. You better believe it that he knew how to handle his life after such a long time. And that's a problem. But Jesus doesn't give up. And he's not happy at this. And he wants to give hope even to the hopeless. He wants things to change. And every minute, every hour of the life would count. Because our life is so precious. So the man took the risk. And faith is risk. It's risk taking. He had to listen, you know. And if he would get up, then he had to deal with the rest. And he said, I will take the risk. And he got up. And he became a model, an example in such thing. But why would God ask us to take risks? Why faith is tough? Why not things are just so easy, so plain, so straightforward? As I heard it from people. Why doesn't God make things straightforward? Why risks? Why faith? Why all of this? The thing is, God will ask you in order to give you that hope. God is giving you the hope to do something that you can never do on your own. He knows that you can't do it. He knows that you couldn't do it for such long time. And he's giving you the hope to do that. He's giving you the hope for a new life. But you have to take the risk. You have to listen to this word. Jesus healed this man with a word of his mouth. Just one word. This man was healed. And things were changed for him. Things were different for him. Just was one word from the mouth of God. But the same word comes for you and me as a commandment. If you listen to this word will give you life. This word is not to make you paralyzed. No, it's to give you life, to give you hope. But who would listen to this word? Actually, may go back a little bit and see the gospel of today. And okay, this is the psalm where it says, "The earth is full of them, the unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." There is starry host by the breath of his mouth. Like God created everything by just the word of his mouth. By a breath, he creates everything. And actually, we call the word of God the breath of God or the breath of God. The word, just one word from the Lord Jesus gave this man life. One word from him created heaven and earth. This man, Jesus, didn't even touch. Didn't touch him. He told him, get up and walk. Just one word. But the Lord, the word is as effective as long as you listen to it. As long as you respect it. As long as you obey that. A lot of times, God really gives us these promises. But the problem is, I decide what I'm going to do because of my feelings. What I feel like doing and what I don't feel like doing. That's why we don't change and we stay where we are. Not listening to the word. Because God will never tell you a word to do before giving you the power to do that. If God is telling you today, get up and walk, then He's giving you the power to get up and walk. He's giving you the power, the strength to do that. Do you know what it means for someone to be paralyzed for 38 years? Probably he would need 100 years of physical therapy in order to walk on the same leg and move again. Yeah. Some people stay in bed for 1 month, then they take 2-3 months physical therapy in order to walk again. And that's 38 years. One of the icons drew this man as someone very full of muscles, like Superman, and carrying his bed like this. You know, as like Jesus gave him strength and muscles and energy with the word of his mouth. With the word of his mouth. But this hope, Jesus gives it in him. In him. And only from the Lord Jesus we take this hope. And from him, because he is the word of God. So, what are you waiting for these days that needs God's help? Which pool are you staying at? Which stage that you are kind of crippled and don't know where to go from? Is it the repentance? Is God calling you for repentance? He's going to give you the energy to do it. Is God calling you for a service? He's going to give you the energy to do it. Is He calling you for a mission? He's going to give you the strength and the energy to do such thing. But will you take the risk? When I was going to you know, mission trips, of course I see a lot of people. Let me go back where I am. Okay, so I see a lot of people who took so many risks in their lives. And it turned to be the best thing ever happened to them. But if we stay right there at the pool, we're not going to move. Nothing will change. Hope will not come. God wants to give us hope. Hope for a life that counts. But that takes risk, takes faith. And to tell you the truth, that's what God said in the Bible, that whatever is not from faith is sin. Faith is so important. Taking that risk is so important. Listening to what He has to say is so important. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. What is the step that God is asking you to take? It's not a step in order to embarrass you. He didn't want to embarrass this man, and He made him fall in the pool or fall on his face. He didn't want to embarrass him. He wanted to give him hope. He wanted to give him hope. But a lot of times we hear the word of God. Oh, it's that word again. He wants me to do the same thing. It's the same thing again. It's not the same thing. It's a word full of God's life and God's hope and God's strength to do what He wants you to do. But you need to decide to get up. Second thing here, that once you get up, you really need to follow Him. Because the Lord gave him hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem is, why do people always look for healing? That's the thing. A lot of people hear this miracle and they say, why not me? Why not my father? Why not my family? Why not my grandmother? I need the same healing too. And I say, well, let's wait. Why did God give him this life? Why did God heal him? To be strong? To make more money? To live better? No, he wanted to change his entire life, that his life would be meaningful, would be glorifying to God. God doesn't heal for the sake of healing, for the sake of rest, to make you feel better or to make you feel good. No, but to make the most out of your life. And if God sees that you will make most of your life because of that, he will order you to get up and he will give you the healing. He will give the healing. And he gave the healing to this man. And he said, watch out. He met him again in the temple. Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Now you know why Jesus healed him. To live a righteous life. To live a life that glorifies God. A life free from sin. Never sin again. And actually there is a reason why. This is the one only time in the entire Bible where Jesus said that to anyone. Jesus usually healed people. Go in peace. Go in peace. That's good. Good for you. But this man was different. This man took the healing without the Lord Jesus. He completely ignored him. Someone who is paralyzed for 38 years, when someone make him walk, at least you should recognize who this person is. Should at least identify the person. What did he do when Jesus made the miracle for him? He walked away. He walked away. As simple as this. Carrying the bed. And then the Jews saw him. What are you doing? It's a Sabbath. You're carrying your bed. You're sentenced to death. He said, no, I didn't do it. It's the man who healed me. Who is this man? I have no idea. Are you kidding me? You have no idea of someone who healed you after 38 years? I didn't look at him. But I'll get him for you, because it's not my fault. He is, you know, it's his fault. I'll get him for you. What happened after this, after Jesus told him, sin no more. I give you second chance. Now I'm giving you third chance because I see that sin is coming your way. I healed you in order to give you life, but you're wasting your life again. Go and sin no more. What is he supposed to do when Jesus is giving him third chance? Kneel down? Cling on him? Never leave him? Worship him? Thank him? What did he do? He left, told the Jews, I got you the guilty person. I knew who it was. It was that Jesus of Nazareth who's healing people. He went and told the Jews it was Jesus who healed him. And actually from that moment, the Jews for the very first time, the Bible says, decided to kill Jesus. He basically went and crucified him. Sentenced him to death. He took the life, the healing, without the Lord Jesus. That's what we ask for a lot of times. We want the healing. We want the change. We want the hope without the Lord. No. The hope is only in him. That's why Jesus said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. Anything worse than 38 years paralyzed? Yes. Eternity. Anything worse than wasting your life and your time on earth? Yes, wasting your eternity. It is so important. That's why Jesus healed him. That's why Jesus gave him hope. Not for this life, but for the coming, for the life after. Because it's going to be much worse if he doesn't listen and if he doesn't obey. Not only that we get the hope from the Lord. Because every time, anytime you come to church, you open the Bible, God gives you hope. What do you do with it? Oh, God is giving me hope that everything is going to be okay. The problem is going to go away. Sickness will go away. You didn't get the point. The point is to make your life to make the most out of your life. The point is not just to be healed, but to change your life, to change your attitude, lest a worse thing would come upon you. So, the question here is, what are you doing with your one and only life? Clinging to Him after He gave you the hope? You know, exactly, we're like Peter. What did Jesus tell Peter? Come, walk on the water. Just with a word from the Lord, Peter was able to walk on the water. What did Peter do? Instead of looking at Him who gave him the hope and who gave him the word, he looked at himself. What happened? Started drowning. He took him again by the hand. God gives us hope, wants to give us hope. Hope of life, a whole life, a change. But this life is in Him. This hope is in Him. It's never away from Him. It's never to take the gift and use it outside, but to give it for Him, for His sake, for His purpose, that our life may count by following Him, by obeying Him. And that's how our life would count, because God wants every life to count. Every one of us, every hour, every day to count. We're not here on earth by accident, or we're not here to waste our life as this man, but to make the most out of our life for His glory. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.